Shalom Aleichem, a very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Psachim Nun Aleph, Psachim 51a, pagination page 101. But in order to understand this Gemara, we'd like to go back to the Mishnah on the previous page. So we're starting on Nun Amad Aleph, 50a, pagination page 99. At the bottom where the new Mishnah of the Perek begins. This is a famous Perek. Makom Shanohagu it's called. Places which have Menhagim customs. So a custom is something which is not strictly obligated from the Torah. It is not Torah law, Deoraisa, not from Torah Shebachzar, not from Torah Shebalpeh. It's also not a derabbanon, a universal rabbinic legislation, but rather a custom that developed in a certain locale. And therefore it's probable, and that's what we're going to discuss, that one community has one custom and a different community has a different custom. To what extent is one bound by that custom, particularly when they relocate from one community to another? One of the customs that's really prominent in our awareness is how long a person waits after eating meat before eating dairy. So there's a custom as low as 1 hour. There's a custom among German Jews of 3 hours. There are customs of a full 6 hours. There are customs of into the sixth hour. There are customs of 5.5 so that you're close to the sixth hour. On a different occasion, perhaps we'll explain the sources for these different customs, but just to appreciate that it's possible to have different customs. No one's going to eat milk and meat together. That would be a violation. But how long do you have to wait after eating one before eating the second? So the different customs about it. So the Mishnah tells us, Makom shenagu lasas melacha ba'arvei pesachim ad chatzos osim. A place that has the custom that they're still doing work until chatzos of Erev Pesach, even though it's the day of the Karban Pesach and there's a lot to do, but if until chatzos they do melacha, they do work, so you're allowed to. Makom shenagu shelo lasas ein osim. If you're in a place where they don't have the custom to do work the entire morning, so then you don't. If you're going from a place that does to a doesn't to does, nosim lav chumri makom sheyatzam misham v'chumri makom shehalach l'sham, a landmark principle that you put on the person the stringencies of whichever place is more strict. And over here we have an introduction to the concept of customs. And we'll see, there are exceptions. Sometimes people develop customs without the consent of any authority. It's not a logical custom. It's based on a mistake, perhaps. So you have to know when customs apply. But there is a concept of a custom to the extent that even to a person who did not grow up with that custom, they might have that custom thrust upon them when they enter a community that does have that custom. Let's continue on the second side of the daf, counting up from the bottom, 5 lines, towards the middle of the line. B'nei Baishan, there were people of a certain locale. Nahug, there was a custom there. D'lo va'azla mitzur litzidan b'ma'alei shabata. They would not go from one place to the other, the marketplace, on Erev Shabbos, on Friday. They wouldn't get involved in that. That was their custom. Didn't want to get distracted from Shabbos preparations. It might get too involved. You do business on a deep level, the travel, whatever it was that developed the custom, but in honor of Shabbos, they didn't do this trip. Asu benayu kamei de Rabbi Yechanan. So the children came to Rabbi Yechanan, the next generation, Amrulo, and they told him, Avazim efshaluhu. They were able to. They were wealthy. They could afford to skip a day of work. Friday is off. It's local business only. Ananlo Efshalon, we can't afford it. We need to go to the marketplace. Omalahu, and Rabbi Yechanan told them, Kvar kiblu avoseichem aleihem, you already have a custom here that your parents accepted upon them, and it's binding on you. At least in this case, that was his ruling. Shenema shema b'ni Musa ravicha v'altitosh Torah simecha, that besides Torah itself, there is the personal teaching of your father and mother, there's the family custom, and you're bound by it, Rabbi Yochanan said. And that's one of the reasons that when we have a custom developing, we purposely say the words b'li neder, without a vow. We try to avoid making it a custom unless we're very sure of ourselves, because it ends up, in some cases at least, being binding not only on us, but on the next generation, etc. And if it's something that might be considered extreme, we want to be careful with the development of that custom. But there is such a thing as a family custom, and in certain cases it would truly be binding even on future generations. The next case, which takes us on to today's daf, is the case B'nei Chuzai, people of a different locale. Noagi, they had a custom, the Mefarshi Chala Me'arosa, that they would take Chala portion, they would do that mitzvah even on rice. Now, rice does not have this mitzvah, because not one of the five primary grains that are Mizonos Hamotzi Berchas Hamazon. Rice is unique, but they used to do this. They used to take challah. Also, v'omre lele Rav Yosef, they told Rav Yosef about it, amaluhu, and his reaction was, nech lezor ba'apayu, let a non-kohen go eat that challah right in front of them, make it clear that they are doing something that has no basis in halacha. It's not a valid custom. Okay. Esvei Abaya, Abaya said, I have an objection, I have a kasha. Our Mishnah told us that if there's something that's permitted, but people are observing prohibition on it, they've developed a custom, you're not allowed to allow it in front of them. Amrulei, Amarlo. So he told them, V'lav mi'itmar Allah, but we learned, Amarav Chista b'kusoi, that's only when you're dealing with kusa'im, people who aren't so knowledgeable, and if you start being lenient, you don't know where it's going to go. Kusa'im ma'itayma mishum de mesarchi milsa, hanachishi nami sarchi milsa. So he said that applies here too. They're also not such knowledgeable people, and if you start being lenient, they don't know exactly what you're whittling away from their observance. Elam Ravashi, Ravashi said this is the reason that he came down strong against this custom of taking challah from rice. Chazinon, let's pay attention. Iruban orez achli, if mostly they're eating rice, lo nech lezar ba'apayu, you shouldn't undo their custom. Doma mishtakcha toras challah minayu, because you could undo the concept of challah from them. Maybe this custom has basis if they only use rice, or almost only use rice, then this custom has basis. It's in order that they shouldn't forget the mitzvah of challah. The ruban dagon achli, but if mostly they're eating food from the five grains, which are obligated in challah, then this orez custom is coming out of left field. Nech lezar ba'apayu, let a non-kohen eat it. Dema'asi la'afrusha menachia v'alapata, lest they think that rice is truly obligatory, and they start taking challah from the rice on something else, umenapater alachiyuv, they're mixing up the mitzvah. So if the custom has some basis and we could source it in a fear that the generation had, they were afraid they were going to lose the mitzvah of challah, so zecher lachallah, they started taking from rice. So we hear the custom, and we're not going to undo it. But if it's a custom that has no basis and could end up causing a takala, damage, a problem, so then he said you would undo the custom to clarify the truth for the sake of the people of the future of proper observance. Yeshe koach, have a wonderful day.